Well, the cross was God's announcement that Jesus would rescue the world with his sacrificial love by dying on the old rugged cross. The blood that Jesus shed truly washes away all of our sin. How many believe that? Say amen. We're so grateful for the death of our Savior Jesus, but praise God, he did not stay dead. Let's read Matthew 28, verse 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, and in other words, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, like we enjoyed this morning early at the sunrise service, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment or his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, the guards, did shake and became as dead men. They just fainted. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." So early that Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb. When they arrived, they found the stone rolled away. Taking verse 6 as our text today, I'd like to share three important truths about the resurrection. Number one, let's look at the empty tomb. Look at the first phrase of verse 6. Say it with me. Ready? He is not here. Say it one more time with gusto. Ready? He is not here. His enemies took precautions so that this would not happen. They tried to make sure that the tomb was sealed with the Roman seal of authority. If anyone broke the seal, that would mean death. They placed armed soldiers, guards around the tomb to watch it. But the Roman seals and the armed soldiers are no match for the power of God. On the third day, the tomb was opened and emptied of his body. So his enemies took precautions. Second thought I had under this was his friends didn't expect it. They were down in the dumps. You ever been down in the dumps? Sad, mournful. They had given up. You know where his followers were? They were in mourning. They were hiding. They were fearful. And when these women ran and told his disciples that he had risen from the dead, the disciples did not believe them. You know what Peter and John did, you remember? They had to go see for themselves. And they ran quickly to the tomb to look for themselves, verify that it was true. Thomas, when they told him about it, he said, "Oh no, you've seen a ghost. Oh no, you've had a vision. You've been fooled. I won't take your word for it. I won't believe unless I see for myself." You ever met somebody like that? "I got to see it for myself. Unless I stick my finger in the nail prints of his hands, I will not believe." Boy, he was skeptical, wasn't he? But none of them believed at first. His enemies took precautions. His friends didn't expect it. But then I thought about this. Contrary to all the other tombs in history, his is empty. There is a difference between the tomb of Christ and the tomb of other famous people. They're famous, and boy, they draw visitors from far away of what they contain. We go and visit the great leaders like Washington and Lincoln and Jefferson, Ronald Reagan. I've been to his burial site in California. We go to tombs like Muhammad, religious leaders, and Joseph Smith and the popes and John Wesley. The tomb of Jesus is famous because of what it does not contain. Amen? Those other graves are famous because they are full. But Jesus' tomb is famous because it's empty. If it were not empty, we would have no hope. Do y'all realize that today? Thank God for the empty tomb. Number two, I thought about a risen Lord. Look back at verse 6. We've already said, he is not here. Now say the next phrase when you're ready. For he is risen. If the tomb's empty, what happened to his body? Either the body had been removed by someone, or he had risen from the dead. One or the other had to be true. Now remember, the tomb was sealed. The guards were standing in front. So even if the friends wanted to take his body, they could not. How about his enemies? They wouldn't have taken his body either. That's the very thing they did not want to happen. That's why they sealed the tomb, placed the guards there to protect it. His friends could not take the body. His foes would not take the body. So the only thing that's left is he arose from the grave. That's what the angel said. How many believe the angel? That's what Mary said. That's what Peter said. That's what Matthew wrote. Mark wrote. Luke wrote. John wrote. That's what Paul wrote. And that's what Paul preached. The records are just too plain and undeniable. And men wrote in the New Testament about his life, about his works, about his death, about his burial, about his resurrection. And for that testimony, they were put in jail. They preached Christ crucified, buried, risen again. And they were beaten. They were abused. They were ridiculed. They bled. They suffered. They were humiliated. Even some were killed as a martyr. Men do not suffer for things that they do not believe in. Can I get a witness? These men lived when it happened. They were there and knew all about it. The scripture says, we have seen, we have touched, we have handled him. How many believe he's risen? Amen. He is risen. There's an empty tomb. Number three, look at the next phrase. He is not here, for he is risen. Say these next three words. Ready? As he said. Number three, fulfilled prophecy. Things had a habit of happening as he said. A father came asking Jesus to heal his sick child. Jesus told the father, go on your way and the child will be made whole. Guess what, y'all? It happened as he said. He told his disciples to find a colt, a young donkey, tied up in a certain place. Guess what? It happened as he said. He told Peter to go catch a fish. James, this is for you right here, buddy. He's our fisherman. He told Peter to catch a fish, and inside his mouth, he would find a piece of money that would pay off his taxes. How many would like to catch a fish like that? Amen? Guess what, y'all? It happened as he said. He told them they would meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. That was very unusual in those times. Only ladies carried a pitcher of water to and from the well. But Jesus told them, you're going to find a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and that's going to be the home where we're going to celebrate Passover. And we're going to have our meal together. Guess what, y'all? It happened as he said. He told them that they were going to go up to Jerusalem, that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinners, that he would be crucified, that he would be buried. He even told them that on the third day that he would rise again. And it happened as he said. His enemies took precautions to prevent it. His disciples were astonished when it happened. It all took place as he said. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Now you say, Pastor Wayne, why is this so important? I'm glad you ask. Amen. His resurrection is the pledge of our resurrection. Did you get that? His resurrection is the pledge of our resurrection. Rest assured, he's able and will keep his promise that we shall rise also. I want you to notice this verse in John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son say the next four words with me, ready? And believeth on him. That's the key right there. If you believe in Jesus as your personal Savior, the rest of the verse says, may have everlasting life. Here it is. And I will raise him up at the last day. Because he lives, we shall live. How many love that song? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Death has been defeated. Thank God for that. Now, you got a loved one in a grave somewhere. Pastor Earl buried his brother yesterday. A wonderful service. We were at the graveside, and I thought about this. I'm thinking about that verse I'm preaching on today. You got a loved one in a grave somewhere that believed in Christ. Well, the Bible says the dead shall rise first. Now, their souls are already with Jesus. But at that time, their body is going to be reunited with their soul and spirit. And you will see them again. Then we which are alive and remain. How many hope to be alive when he comes back? Wouldn't that be fun to go out in the rapture? But either way, if you go through death, you're going to rise first. If you're left behind or still alive, it says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. But here's my favorite part of it, ready? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what's heaven. That's what makes heaven so exciting. That's what it's all about. We're going to be in his presence forevermore. So because of his resurrection, I've got hope for my resurrection. Either through death, I'll rise first, or if I'm living, I'm going to go up to meet him at the rapture. Well, the only thing about all that is this promise that I'll be in heaven one day and my body will rise. This promise is limited to believers. Don't be fooled. Don't be misled. But if you want this hope and you wish to claim the promise in John 6:40, you must trust Jesus as your personal Savior. You say, what does that mean? I love the verses in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. In other words, you need to believe that Jesus is God. Say that with me. Ready? Jesus is God. So important. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Y'all believe that? Do you believe Jesus is God? You believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Then it says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God cannot overlook sin. Boy, I wish he could, but that's not the way he is. He's a righteous, just God. Your sin will either be pardoned in Christ or it will be punished in hell. Did you get that? Your sin will either be pardoned in Christ by accepting him, or your sin will be punished in an awful place called hell. But your sin will not be overlooked. I'm amazed at the thief on the cross. Colton read that through one of our scriptures this morning. Did you know the thief on the cross defied the influence of his friend on the other side of Jesus? Okay? He defied the influence of those who passed by and the ones that mocked Jesus. It took faith for him to trust a dying Savior. You ever thought about that? He was saved wholly of grace. He couldn't do anything. He was nailed to a cross too. And so for that thief, Just like our salvation, it was wholly of grace. It was the gift of God. He didn't deserve it. He could not earn it. His salvation was personal. His salvation was secure, guaranteed by the words of Jesus. Jesus gave him forgiveness that very day, and he died, and he went with Jesus to paradise. It's amazing. That's the way you have to come to Jesus today. Do you know him? Albert Einstein was a genius. You ever heard that name? Shake your head, all right? Time magazine called him the man of the century. Wouldn't you like to be called the man of the century? Wow. He knew so much, but he was very absent-minded. Have you ever met someone brilliant, but they don't know how to get out of a paper bag, you know? Can't figure their way out. He was on the train headed from Princeton. Probably gave a lecture, taught the students at Princeton. The conductor on the train came by to punch his ticket. And he looked everywhere. Checked his pockets, looked in his briefcase, looked all around his seat. The conductor said, "Don't worry. I know who you are, Dr. Einstein. I know you bought a ticket. That'll be fine. Don't worry about showing me your ticket." Well, the conductor went down punching tickets. And all of a sudden he looks back and sees Albert Einstein on his hands and knees, looking under that seat, trying to find that ticket. He comes back, "Sir, it's all right. I know who you are." Einstein said, "I know who I am. I just want to know where I'm going." He was trying to find that ticket because he forgot where he was going. Let me ask you a question. I don't mean to be all jest, but I wanted to just present it in that way. Do you know where you're going? Do you know who you are in Christ? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Because he is the only way. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You say, "Preacher, I'm good to my neighbor. I'm sweet to the people at my work." That will not get you to heaven. Amen? "I got baptized." Mm-mm. "I give in the offering." Uh-uh. "I do this and this and this." It's not about what we have done. It's about what he did. The work's already been done. And all we have to do is believe. I believe Jesus is God. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe in him. I trust him as my personal Savior. Hey, believe in him, and your sins will be washed away. They'll be forgiven. Can we bow our heads together?